The reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, 1 through 11. Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you have heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the time or reasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to them. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus who has taken up from you into the heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God.
A voice like that made the scripture just, you have my complete control when you speak. I know your kids know that too when you speak, yeah, they're complete control. Well, I have, my wife told me last time I spoke too long. And that was the first time in 48 years that she ever said anything about, well, I take that back. There was one time she said, "Don't ever preach that sermon again." And that was a long time ago. I was still in seminary and I thought I would try something new. And it was so new, she said, "Don't even try it again." So this is, in the liturgical world, for those of you who may be brought up in different traditions, this is called Ascension Sunday. 40 days have passed since Easter, and Jesus is speaking with his disciples on the Mount of Olivet, and he is about to be raised up into the heavens. No longer will he be seen in the fleshy flesh that they have known. He will now become invisible, but very present. He now goes to be there at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This ends his earthly ministry as we know it. It's a very powerful time, and it's a time of where there's a lot of reflection, I'm certain, going through the minds of the disciples. They're still trying to figure out, as we try to, if you try to figure out the ascension, the technical part of it, you'll be doing that a long time. But theologically, it's simply asking you to believe in the miraculous power of God and the transitioning of God, bringing his son back to him. And then Jesus becomes the empowering Holy Spirit that comes and empowers them to fulfill what he asked them to do in verse 8 of that particular scripture in the first chapter of Acts. When I was growing up, our youth group was called MYF, Methodist Youth Fellowship. And one of the things that we shared in that particular group was that we had a motto, a simple motto, Christ above all. Christ above all. In 1968, that became the United Methodist Youth Fellowship. But it was a very enlightening experience for me in that time that we were called as youth to put Christ above all, to allow Christ to be the center and focus of our lives, to make Christ that person that empowered us to live a good life, a faithful life, a life that bonded us with our friends and with those that we loved and knew. But also, we didn't really understand that what it was asking us to do even more so was to go beyond the perimeters, the safe perimeters of our life, and learn to love those that were different, unusual, and sometimes we would say odd, but yet they were God's children as well. So if Christ is above all in our lives and the empowerment of that, then we find out that we move beyond a lifestyle that says that we go about beyond our boundaries, beyond our simple commitments, our relationships, our convictions, beyond our political and economic structures and our institutions. Above all, Christ is to be the focus and the center and empowerment of our lives. We were just singing the song a few minutes ago, I am a child of God. I hope that all of us here this morning truly know that God loves us, God cares about us, and God tries in every way that God can to enter into our very existence. Some years ago, there was a story about General Omar Bradley. He happened to be a Missourian. He was born in Clark, Missouri, which is a little town between Columbia and Moberly, Missouri. And if you ever go up that way, you'll find that they'll let you know that he was there. Well, the story is told about him. For many, many of you here, that name doesn't mean a thing. For some of us who remember our parents who fought in World War II or the Korean War, we will have some idea of that name because our parents probably spoke that name. And he happened to die in 1981, so he's been gone several years before some of you were ever even born. But he traveled a lot, and so one day he was going to be taking another flight, and he decided he would go in civilian clothes, in a suit, with his attaché case and so forth, but he just didn't want to go all decorated in his general, five-star general uniform. And so he got on the plane, hoping to not be obvious that he was a general, and he sat down. He pulled out a file, and he was sitting there writing some notes. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know, that this young private in the Army sat down beside him. And he looked at him and said, "Hey, mister," said, "you look like a banker. You're all dressed up there. You look like a banker." I don't know, Matt, what are bankers supposed to look like? Anyhow, he said, "No, I'm not a banker." And finally, he just decided, General Bradley decided that he would just say, "Well," he thought, "this young, cocky private is going to bother me for the rest of my flight. I might as well divulge who I am." So he said to the young man, "No, young man, I am not a banker at all. I happen to be General Omar Bradley, a five-star general in the United States Army. I also am the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. And what did that young private say to him? "Wow, that sounds like a pretty important job. I just hope you don't blow it." Well, Jesus is about to assign the disciples And everyone from that time on to our present time, every one of us that proclaims to be a child of God, He is about to assign us to a task, to be witnesses. Witnesses of His love, His grace, His forgiveness, His work. Witnesses throughout the world. And I just hope we don't blow it. When you think about that, you think about the things that have been given to us all through our life. The ascension of Jesus simply conveys to all of us, the believers, that the end of Jesus' story on earth is simply a prelude to the story of the church, which we will celebrate next Sunday in the liturgical world as the Sunday of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon those disciples who've been waiting and empowers them and frees them to go out and to be witnesses into all the world. That's the empowerment. Now, again, it would be important for us to recognize the fact that Jesus' ascension means that Jesus now will rule the world by His absence rather than by His presence. He will no longer be confined to a particular time or place, no longer bound to be the restraints of flesh and blood. He no longer will be held in the limits of the earth. Now, Christ is where God is. And therefore, when we say, or we hear in the Apostles' Creed, He sits on the right hand of God the Father. Now, hear these words from Colossians as Paul writes them. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That's a powerful statement. In Jesus Christ, all things hold together. I am a child of God, which should give us the power and the knowledge that there is not anything that we cannot do without knowing that God holds us together. You hear, the risen Christ is the glue that holds the stuff of this cosmic universe together. And without Him, the whole world would spin apart in smithereens. For it says, again in Colossians, "For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross." So, what does Jesus do? He tells the disciples this. He makes a promise, and He would make that promise to all of us. You will receive power, and this is His promise. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then He gives them a charge. Gives them a promise. You will receive power. Now, here's why that power should be used for. You will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And what do we do when we read the rest of the scriptures? We find it, yes, all of a sudden, there they are. In Jerusalem, the very place where they should have felt very uncomfortable and felt enclosed simply because that was the place where they killed Jesus. And yet Jesus says, wait, stay right there. I promise you. I promise you the empowerment of the Spirit to make a difference. And so, from Jerusalem, then spreading out to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, even to now. In other words, he said, I'm going to come back to you in the form of a spirit, and I'm going to put myself deep inside you. The song said a while ago, no longer will I fear, for he empowers me. Jesus simply saying, don't be afraid. You can do it. I'm going to give you my strength and my power, and what I want you to do with it is to go out into the world and share me with everybody. Everybody you meet, be my witnesses. And what did they do? They went out. They were not afraid to speak for Christ. There was no shame to speak his name and to bear his witness. They were all there to make a difference. Last Sunday, when we received our confirmands in our church, remember when Pastor David anointed their forehead with a cross, a marked sign of the cross on the forehead, simply was a marking that gave them that invisible yet indelibly empowerment of God into their lives, into the very source of their hearts, simply saying, God will be with you until the day you die, and you are marked to be his disciple. Remember, you belong to him above and beyond everyone else and everything else in your life. But he wasn't saying that just to the confirmants. He was saying it to all of us. For if I am a child of God, that's what I should remember. You're expected to speak up for him and to share him and represent him wherever and whenever you are in the world for the rest of your life. Now, that task sometimes may be daunting. But thank goodness he promised the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and nothing can overwhelm us. Yes, there's enough hatred, enough envious, resentful, desperate, discouraged, and despondent people in the world. But as a Spirit-filled Christian, we are called upon to rise above such feelings to transform the lives of others. So you know what Christ is counting on? He's counting that we will really do our job, that we won't blow it. It means that we belong to him to be called by his name. I want you to think for a moment. Where did you this week have the opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Was it sitting watching a son or a daughter in a sports event? Was it on a playground at school? Was it in your office where you work? Was it around the dinner table in your home? Was it this morning coming inside the door of the church and greeting another? Was it in the chaotic craziness of Walmart? Was it simply in the quiet moment, isolated from the rest of the world, praying that you became a witness and God empowered you to speak? You shall be my witnesses.